It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Video games and the people who play them have changed a lot in the last 10 or 20 years. With improvements in gaming technology and a host of new video game platforms, more people are gaming than ever before. The old stereotype of video gamers as straight, young, white men has been challenged by a growing diversity of gamers, especially women. The recent Gamergate controversy, however, shows that some hardcore gamers are not happy with the diversification of the video game culture. Joining us to talk about Gamergate and what it shows about how video games and society are diversifying are Max Parker, video game journalist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Max, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
And also scheduled to join us by phone is Susan Rohr, a Brooklyn-based freelance journalist who has been following Gamergate, and we will look forward to having Susan as part of this conversation as soon as she's able to talk with us. In the meantime, Max Parker, if you were talking to someone who does not play video games and isn't a part of that culture, how would you explain Gamergate and why it's so significant?
Well, you have to start at the beginning of the Gamergate controversy and explain really how it came to be. It started as a disgruntled ex-boyfriend of an independent game developer named Zoe Quinn, who wrote a blog post that accused her of trading sex for coverage on a video game site for her game that she was developing. From that post spawned two different groups of the Gamergate movement. One that's calling for an ethical audit of those who cover the video game industry. And then there's the other half of the Gamergate movement, which has basically singled out women and have thrown hate, harassment, and threats their way. That's pretty much the Gamergate movement in a nutshell.
And you might have just explained this, but the significance of this?
The significance of it is that it's you're dealing with threats, and you're dealing with criminal threats at that. And it really shows that video games really aren't the only things in the entertainment industry that have this kind of misogyny. It's kind of showing a magnifying glass on that issue, that misogyny is prevalent. And when you have internet anonymity, that people can get away with saying these threats and harassment, and there really aren't any consequences. So it's showing that there's a bigger picture in society here.
And a lot of this has to do with, it sounds like, the old guard of the video game industry being threatened by the changes that have proliferated and the people who play these games becoming more diverse.
Right. You have that old guard that you mentioned that were there from the beginning. And this is, again, this is a vocal minority. The Gamergate movement doesn't represent game culture on the whole. So you have this vocal minority that feels that their video games are under attack by expansion. And there really isn't any logic to that.
Yeah, why is that? Well, what is the idea behind this sort of territorial feeling?
Right. You want to approach these kinds of controversies with logic, and the problem that there isn't any. Video games can benefit from expansion, from getting...
You would think.
Yeah, from getting different a vast audience and more people creating and consuming. And so broad horizons are a good thing to have for video games. But there really isn't any logic behind wanting to lock the door and throw away the key and not let anybody else into this club that is video games.
And I think a lot of people have that stereotype of the gamer, of what he, and I say he because it's been a male-dominated realm for so long, but it has become more diverse. How and why has that happened?
Yeah, the quote-unquote gamer has always been perceived as, like you said, straight white males who are playing a video game console in their basement that may or may not be their parents' basement. But what it's become, it's really exploded in the last couple years, and part of that is due to smartphones. you used to have to buy a dedicated gaming console that cost a couple hundred dollars that only played video games. Now, with smartphones being as big of a deal as they are, people are walking around, every day people are walking around with smartphones, and that's essentially a video game console in your pocket. So how I define gamer is pretty much anybody who enjoys playing any type of game, and that could be a military shooter at home, or it could be Angry Birds or Candy Crush Saga on the smartphone.
If you are a gamer, if you are someone who is new to the video game culture, part of the diversification of that culture, or maybe you're someone who considers yourself part of the old guard, we'd like to hear from you with your thoughts about these topics. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. We're talking with Max Parker, video game journalist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and we are scheduled to hear from Susan Rohr, a Brooklyn-based freelance journalist who has been following Gamergate. Our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive, and also our phone number again, 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Max, Gamergate seems to have been spurred on. You mentioned that the culture is broadening and diversifying because of the availability of games on so many more different types of media, smartphones being one of them. But the Gamergate controversy seems to have been spurred on by activity on social media, particularly Twitter. How has social media played into this controversy?
Well, social media, I mean, information spreads so quickly now because of online forums and social media. And since video games, the consumers of video games are more or less tech savvy, this information has exploded, and it's only been a couple weeks because all the activists for either side are constantly connected, can post thoughts at any time, and then it just spreads. It goes viral, and it spreads like wildfire.
And is there something about online communities that allows racism, sexism, homophobia to be magnified?
Absolutely, because like I stated before, the anonymity, people can post things and there aren't any consequences. People can make threats and there aren't any consequences. Whereas in the past, if you saw something you didn't like, you would have to submit, write a letter, and then mail it. In that time that you're actually putting those thoughts onto paper, you might have cooled off or you might have changed your mind. Now people can post whatever is on the top of their head at any time, and oftentimes that can become dangerous.
Talk about the nature of the threats that are out there, particularly against women and some women who are – you mentioned one video game developer's plight, a woman who developed her own game and then – ended up being the object of all sorts of accusations, and there are others out there.
Mm-hmm. People feel the men that are spewing this hate and threats. They feel threatened. They feel threatened. They feel defensive. They feel they're being accused of something, and they go on the offensive and attack back. I mean, it's not only in video games. Yesterday, there was a video that went viral of a woman who filmed herself for 10 hours walking down the streets of New York. And in that video, were catcalls, harassment, all kinds of terrible things were caught on camera. And just today, a day later, she's already received threats. So this is
she's received threats for creating this video and posting it?
Right, creating a video that somebody felt is anti-male or accusing men of being terrible people.
As opposed to just simply showing what a woman goes through
exactly
in society.
Yes. So it's not only video games that this misogyny is there. It's a broader problem.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with Max Parker, video game journalist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's go to Jimmy in South Park. Jimmy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Go ahead with your comment or question.
It was actually more of a comment. I'm a 52-year-old gamer that's been gaming since the Atari days. And I just wanted to comment
that
in a lot of games that you play, the lead character is a woman. and particularly in survival horror games, those kinds of things, the person you're actually playing is usually a woman. And I don't understand why more women aren't part of the scene, because there's definitely a potential market to tap. And that's basically my comment, is that a lot of those games, you do play as a woman.
Hmm. Well, all right. Well, it's a good point. Thank you for sharing that comment, Jimmy. And what about what he's saying, Max?
Yeah, absolutely. There are more and more games that have female protagonists, and there are a lot of games where you can choose, you can create your own protagonist, whether it's a male or a woman. And as the medium expands and as that audience expands, you're going to see more of that. Now, I wouldn't say that most of the protagonists are still men in video games, and that's the same with I would say movies or books or other forms of entertainment media. But it is changing as that audience becomes broader.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Aaron in Carrick. Aaron, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm actually calling to make kind of the opposite point of the last caller. One of the reasons that Gamergate is a problem, not that Gamergate is a problem, is that it highlights a problem, is that for all that the guys making threats are a vocal minority, that's not untrue. However, the game industry, to a pretty large degree, caters to those guys. And, if you look at big title releases, the vast, vast majority of protagonist characters are straight white dudes. And so, while most gamers aren't, making threats, most gamers are being catered to in that way.
I would absolutely agree with that, because there's still that base audience that was there from the beginning that is probably dominated by men, and there's been that trend from the beginning to make games about straight white men. Now, it kind of changes with the independent game scene. So there are creators who are teams of one or two people who are kind of changing, using different narratives and different characters, and a diverse cast of protagonists. But you're right; the main games are still the majority of games still star white men. That's true.
Thank you, Aaron, and earlier Jimmy. Let's go to Brian in Bellevue. Brian, you're on with Essential Pittsburgh and Max Parker.
How you doing?
Good.
Just a quick comment, because as far as just how I've viewed the entire Gamergate thing from the onset, from the original articles through websites like through Kotaku, Destructoid, other things in games media, and how mainstream media like CNN has interpreted it, the biggest issue that I feel that has been going on is kind of a lack of awareness of the first cardinal rule of the internet. You do not feed the trolls. You do not give them a spotlight in which they can proliferate. And generally the internet, especially things like Tumblr, Twitter, have about a short-term memory span like a goldfish. So what happens is now that you're giving a so large amount of attention on this, and so many articles, so many prominent people, is giving these types of people these basically a small minority of an otherwise pretty okay group of people a giant form in which they didn't have before, a whole bunch of attention in which they are constantly feeling that they are outcast, whether they deserve that title or whether they're actively looking at it. Games media in the past hasn't been all that friendly, and I'm talking like mainstream media. Every time that there is a mass shooting or mass violence or anything like that, it's attributed to what? Violence in video games. And over the years, you have people like Patrick Scott Patterson, who is an amazingly good games journalist, who has brought this up time and again, that this type of coverage over and over again breeds a more and more exclusive group of people who are constantly on the defensive. What this article came out in somebody's random blog lit off a powder keg that was basically going to happen.
Well, Max, why don't you jump in and react to some of what Brian is saying here?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The focus of this Gamergate movement has become the threats and the harassment, because when you're dealing with death threats, I mean, you are dealing with something that's against the law. You're dealing with criminal activity. So that's going to get the focus rather than something that, let's say, is dry like ethics and video game journalism. So the focus is on this criminal activity, and that the focus is there because it kind of says that things need to change. Now, what I would tell anybody else on the outside who is asking questions about Gamergate, I would just say it does not represent video game culture on the whole.
So you're saying this is a vocal minority?
Absolutely. And like I said, that this movement does deal with people who are tech savvy, so they have the means to make themselves seem louder and larger than they actually are. That can be with creating fake email addresses, fake Twitter accounts, and just spam accounts that spread their message.
So has the general reaction to the entry of women and other kinds of gamers been more welcoming and accepting then?
Absolutely. If you talk on a face-to-face to gamers or somebody who is in the video game community, I'd say that they would have no problem welcoming women into the industry.
Let's go to Stephanie in Robinson. Stephanie, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the show. Hi, Stephanie. Stephanie in Robinson, are you there?
I am here.
There you are. Hi. Welcome. You're on with Max Parker.
Hi. I was just curious about the fact that we're saying that the majority of Gamergaters are about ethics and journalism, as boring as that may be. But why they aren't separating themselves more strongly from the people issuing criminal threats who we're saying are trolls?
I'd argue that the people who are part of the video game movement but not part of the harassment side of it are trying to distance themselves from it. There are the two hashtags that make up the Gamergate movement. There's Gamergate and then the hashtag of Not Your Shield, and that seems to be used by the people who are trying to separate themselves from the harassment and misogyny.
I just know that as a gamer, a female gamer and a Twitter user, I know that I am mildly terrified of even using the word Gamergate because of friends that I have who have gotten incredible backlash from it. So I just was wondering where the other side was on that. So thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. And Max, supporters of Gamergate have framed the discussion as a critique of gaming journalism. How has the journalism community responded?
Unfortunately, there are large, powerful outlets who have responded with anger, and they've become defensive of these accusations, and that has often led to them. You get editors in chief or other video game writers that attack their audience and get angry with them, and that's not the way to act. The problem is that you have people who. are passionate about video games and they want to make a video game website. Well, they might not have a journalism background and they might not have a code of ethics. So as consumers of video games and people who frequent those kind of sites, you just have to be aware of what you're reading and who is giving you video game information and making sure that it's ethical.
We'll try to work in a couple of last quick calls. Elliot in Lawrenceville, we're running out of time, so thank you for waiting. Can you make your point or ask your question quickly to Max?
Hey, Max. Hey, Paul. This is Elliot. My question was, is there anything that the industry is doing to, I guess, kind of support the Gamergate movement? I guess video game producers or periodicals, are they doing their part? Is there more that they can do to kind of deal with the more hateful side of this?
There really hasn't been enough of a response from the heavy hitters in the video game industry, the EAs, the Sonys, the Nintendos. There hasn't been a response from them on this topic. And I think that is going to really move the needle. Once they start to speak up, once they let their voices be heard, because they have influence, they have power, and they really should let their voices be heard as this moves forward.
Thank you very much, Elliot. Unfortunately, we don't have time for any more calls. Just one last quick question in a few seconds, Max. What do you think Gamergate can tell us about the larger cultural adjustments that are taking place in America?
It really magnifies the issues that are happening online and the behavior that is happening online. And I don't know what the solution is for that because as social media gets bigger and bigger, anonymity is a problem, and people can say what they want.
Max Parker is a video game journalist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Max, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Susan Rohr, a freelance journalist, scheduled to join us, unable to be with us today. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow with another edition of Essential Pittsburgh.